Well, here we are, guys, back again in the studio for another episode of Live. What am I doing? Is this live from Saturday night? Stop it. Just forget it. Now let's keep going. Anyway, it's True Crime on Easy Street. My name is Scott Wright. I am a very mediocre journalist.
Kelly Turner, not a doctor. Katie Givens, not a lawyer.
What is in the air today? This is the second episode we've recorded today. You will hear this on May the 7th. By the way, happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers and sons. This is your reminder, son
mothers
and daughter.
And sons.
Yeah, I almost said something else. You mother scratchers out there. Anyway, happy Mother's Day to everybody. Yeah. I swear it's like we're all goofy drunk and nobody's had a thing that I know of.
We just had some chocolate. That was really it.
Yeah, maybe that did it. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah, I was so proud of you for not speaking through the intro that then you just went off the rails.
Oh my God, just immediately jumped with both feet right off.
Wait, did you guys introduce yourselves? I'm Scott Wright, mediocre journalist.
We've already done that.
Yep. I swear I'm sober.
It's really unfortunate that I'm not a doctor at this point. Yeah. I don't know what's going on in here.
All right, just turn off my mic.
We need an actual doctor to give Scott a call.
Connie, can you?
Yeah, Connie. Cherokee Family Healthcare.
Help, Connie.
Katie is in the big chair today. Mm-hmm. I know a little tiny bit about what she's going to talk about, but I said when we were talking about it earlier, I really never followed this case very well, so... Mm-hmm. Just got the tidbits, read the headlines when it popped up in the newspaper or online. Mm-hmm. It wasn't one where I jumped down the rabbit hole. So today, Katie is going to drag me down the rabbit hole.
Well, should we do a sound check before we...
That's, always solid. Mm-hmm. Hold, please. And we're back. Sounds good.
All right. Thumbs up again from the production team of Katie Givens.
You know, we were talking... This case came about me doing it because I was talking with Shorty and Stephanie.
Okay.
About it, and I was like, I mean, it was so national, everyone was so into it, but I couldn't remember the details. I was like, why's behind it. And then I got to thinking, well, I was like in eighth grade or like summer before ninth grade, so I wasn't, watching a televised trial at the time.
Mm-hmm. When this case happened in what year?
Starts in 2008.
2008, okay.
I know that...
the trial was 2011. 2011.
It? Okay. Another friend of the show, you can hear her back in season one, Stacey Smith, followed this very closely.
Okay.
She watched this trial till the bitter end.
Was that a court TV presentation? Was that back in the day?
I don't know if it was where it was, but she watched it every day until the end.
I know that back in the 90s, court TV was big. I mean, we're talking about, OJ and... those cases. I used to come home from college. I think I've said this before. Mm-hmm. I would come home from college on the weekends and grab the remote to change it to the football game, and Mom would come rushing out of the kitchen saying, I'm listening to that. It had to go back to court TV.
So was Lorena Bobbitt after OJ? Because it was on court TV.
Yeah, about the same time. And we talked about the Oklahoma City bombing, the Timothy McVeigh case, right? I assume that it was on TV. Maybe it wasn't.
I don't know.
This was supposedly the biggest case since OJ. That's how all the articles call it.
Well, the marketing department had to come up with something to pitch it on the TV commercials.
And I guess the outcome of it's really what made it, likens it to OJ.
Well, and I think no one capitalized more on that than Nancy Grace.
Ugh, don't get me started.
Even though I totally agree with her on this one.
Okay.
I do.
Not a Nancy Grace fan. Never have been. Scathing. Raspy.
And yet you sit here and listen to me talk.
I don't think
people tell me
you
I sound
said
like
that a few weeks ago, and I didn't want to.
Okay,
I didn't want to shame you.
Well, good.
But I don't hear you and think Nancy Grace.
Okay, good. Because I have
not at all.
All right. Okay. Well,
or good. I wouldn't be here.
Well, for the people out there who don't know us personally and say, well, I can't tell which one's Katie and which one's Kelly. Now I guess Kelly's the Nancy Grace.
Kelly is Nancy Grace.
Katie sounds like cornbread.
Katie's halfway down a dirt road somewhere.
Kelly's the one with the weird laugh. I think I've also heard
no,
of the weird
I don't,
laugh.
I don't agree with
or
that.
The whatever laugh.
At least
was
you
it
laugh.
Weird?
Maybe this one,
it's just laugh.
This one's got a silent laugh. We need to give Katie a bell to ring when she's laughing, just so that everybody out there will know that she got the joke and she's with us.
She's with us always. Yeah. She gets the joke. Just
I know,
so you know
she gets every joke, but she laughs silently.
It also drives Shane nuts.
And you like laugh silently?
Yeah, or sometimes just not at all, even though I think it's funny.
Yeah.
And that may be psychotic behavior. I don't know.
No, I think Shane needs the feedback.
He does.
Is what it
yeah,
is.
Big words of affirmation.
Yeah. He craves attention. Yeah. If you have a spotlight and shine it somewhere around your house, Shane will be there as soon as he can get
there. Well, he loves to tell a joke. Mm-hmm. And he wants that joke appreciated. And I'll be like, it was funny. He's like, no, just go on.
He loves to tell a joke three times in a row.
Well, God, you better laugh the first time.
Yeah. No, it doesn't matter. If you laugh the first time, he just wants you to laugh as hard the second and third times.
Yeah. I have heard all the jokes by now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think no. We both have. I think we all have.
I don't know. I think I still have more of Shane's jokes.
Okay. Too. Well, the next time he starts telling a joke, and you appreciate. And I are going to tag out, and then you can sit for it because I've heard it.
Okay.
Did we have any shout outs, any housekeeping? I think we talked ourselves to death on the last one.
Yeah, we've already shouted Shane down, so I'm done.
He's not going to listen. It's fine.
That's true.
It's fine.
I don't have any.
Nope.
Shout outs. You shouted out all the mothers. So
yeah, I think I got half the population. Yeah. Well, whatever.
Well, if we want, we can dive in because there's a lot to talk about today.
Let's do it.
Yep.
Well, we'll start at the beginning.
I love that.
June 16th, 2008, if you haven't read the title already, Casey Anthony is going to leave her parents' home in Orlando, Florida, where she also lived with her daughter, Kaylee. Her father, George Anthony, later testified that he saw his granddaughter, Kaylee, leaving with Casey on this day. Casey told her mother, Cindy, that she was taking Kaylee to her nanny. And I've looked up how this name is supposed to be pronounced, but Zanny is
sure.
The nickname.
Let's go with that.
Zanny.
I like Zanny.
Fernandez Gonzalez.
Okay.
And the next day, she told Cindy that the three of them, so Casey, Kaylee, and Zanny, were headed to Tampa on a work trip. 30 days after this, her car is going to be found abandoned in Orlando, and it's going to be towed. George and Cindy were notified that the car had been impounded, and George is going to go to get the car. He and the tow yard manager are going to note that there was a strong smell coming from the trunk, which they have both later said that they believed to be that of human decomposition. Because if we've talked about it before, if you do anything with true crime, the smell of a dead body is unlike anything else.
Yeah.
I've never smelled it.
I haven't either.
Mm-mm. But it is unlike anything else. When the trunk was open, though, it only contained a bag of trash.
Okay.
There was not a dead body found in the back of this trunk.
What was in that trash?
Nothing that smelled.
That would have generated that type of smell.
Yeah, okay.
It wasn't like, oh, that's the smell. No. Mm-hmm. On July 15th, 2008, Cindy Anthony is going to make a frantic 911 call where she's going to report that her two-year-old granddaughter, Kaylee Marie Anthony, had been missing for 31 days.
Good grief.
31 days. Cindy also told 911 dispatchers that Casey's car smelled of dead bodies. Cindy is going to later retract that statement, but in this 911 call, she does say
it's
that.
It's recorded. And yeah.
That's evidence, right? It can be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
When asked why she hadn't called the police sooner, Casey told investigators that she had left Kaylee at the apartment of her nanny, Zanny.
Mm-hmm.
Zanny, right? Did I just make that
Zanny.
Up? Zanny.
Yeah.
Nanny. I just put together that it was the nanny named Zanny.
Okay.
And that Zanny had kidnapped the toddler. But when police investigated the apartment, they found that it had been abandoned for more than 140 days. So now, Kaylee's been missing 31 days. No one's been in this apartment for 140 days.
Over three times.
Where is Zanny?
Well. Four times.
We're not certain Zanny existed.
Oh, good grief.
So Casey also told police that she was working at Universal Studios. However, investigators took her to Universal Studios on July 16th and asked her to show them her office. She's going to lead detectives into a building before admitting that she no longer worked there. As it turned out, she hadn't worked there since she had taken maternity leave almost 3 years earlier.
Oh, wow.
Good grief. So we have established that she is clearly a liar.
And that's a big theme in this trial. That the one thing we know for certain is that Casey Anthony is a liar.
Mm-hmm. It's pathological.
Yes.
Yeah, so far.
And she's not good at it.
And we'll continue to stick to it, even when you've called her on it multiple times.
Until she is completely backed in the corner.
Literally at Universal, she walks up to a wall and finally turns around and says, okay, you got
it. Yeah, I don't work here. Casey Anthony is then going to be arrested for child neglect, giving false statements to police officers, and obstructing an investigation.
That's a good start.
So the judge is going to initially deny bail, saying Casey had shown a woeful disregard for the welfare of her child. But on July 22nd, after a bond hearing, the judge does set bail at $500,000. And a month later, she's going to be released from the Orange County Jail after her $500,000 bond was posted by a man named Tony Papadilla, the nephew of a California bail bondsman, Leonard Padilla.
Okay.
I'm throwing extra letters in there.
That's Padilla.
So the nephew of a big bondsman posts her bond.
Yes. And the uncle, Leonard, he says that he hoped he and his nephew could help Casey find her missing daughter. That's why he posted the bond. They really believed, and I guess whatever she was selling, that she just needed to be out of jail to find her kid.
Were they friends before all of this, or they became friends
No,
after,
I think they just got interested in the situation.
Okay.
And wanted to get their name in the news.
Yeah.
Maybe they are running a bail bondsman corporation.
Sure.
Business.
However, when an angry crowd began to gather around the Anthony residence where Casey stayed while on bond, which is her parents' house, Tony decided to revoke her bond and return her to jail. Leonard further added that Casey had not wanted to communicate with him. So I guess they wanted to be involved in this search and involved in this. But I think their plan kind of backfired and their name kind of got dragged through the mud with this negative media attention. And
so they turned around and said, okay, just kidding.
Yep.
Just when you thought there was no such thing as bad publicity. The Padillas found out otherwise.
Yeah. And so they revoked it.
I guess.
Okay. Yeah.
So on July 29th, Casey was offered a limited immunity deal in exchange for helping investigators find Kaylee. Prosecutors said that they would not use any statements that Casey made to police against her. This offer is going to expire on September 2nd, 2008. She doesn't take this deal.
Okay.
On September 5th, Casey was released again on bail. And she was charged. She was fitted with a tracking device.
An ankle monitor. Yeah.
Her $500,000 bond was posted by her parents, who were able to sign a promissory note for the bond.
That's your house being mortgaged?
It's got to be something. You got to put up something. Yeah. Some kind of property or something.
Casey's parents appeared on NBC's Today on October 22nd, maintaining their belief that Kaylee was alive and would be found. Larry Garrison, president of Silver Creek Entertainment, I don't really know how he fits in this either, acted as the Anthony family spokesman until November of 2008 when he resigned, citing that the family just had a bunch of erratic behavior that he couldn't deal with.
Yeah, I'll second that motion.
Mm-hmm.
So backing up a little bit in time, on August 11th, 12th, and 13th, meter reader Roy Kronk called police about a suspicious object found in a forest area near the Anthony residence.
Okay.
In the first instance, he was directed by the sheriff's office to call a tip line, which he did. Which seems kind of weird, like you've made it to someone at the sheriff's office, but
yeah, wrong department.
But he called the tip line.
That person didn't want to do paperwork for the day.
Yep. And he didn't receive a return call from the tip line. So,
which is an excellent way to run a tip line.
Yeah, way to go, gang.
Second instance, he called the sheriff's office again. And he eventually met two police officers about his statements. He reported to them that he had seen what appeared to be a skull near a gray bag. On that occasion, the officer conducted a short search, and the officer said they didn't see anything. They didn't see what he was talking about.
So either how?
Yeah, I'm confused.
Where did you look? The man is saying a skull in a gray bag. Mm-hmm. I mean,
skull near a gray bag.
And they didn't see
and they
this.
Went out and searched the area, so they didn't see it.
They did not see it. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
On October 14th, Casey was indicted by a grand jury on charges of first-degree murder, aggravated child abuse, aggravated manslaughter of a child, and four counts of providing false information to police.
Oh, only four.
So obviously that investigation had been, because the grand jury investigation takes a little bit of time.
A little bit of time.
So
it had been since July.
So what evidence did they have
so
to
3 months.
Indict her on this murder?
Yeah.
You know, the other
they
stuff.
Don't have a body or anything. Yeah. They have right. smell of a dead body in the back of her car.
Just enough for them to say.
Mm-hmm.
And the grand jury really is only yeah. saying
it's not a lot of evidence needed for a grand jury.
For them to say you
what's
can
the
proceed.
Old saying? A grand jury
can indict a ham sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just
yeah.
press on. Yeah.
So she was later arrested and the judge ordered that she be held without bond. A week later, the state is going to drop the child neglect charges because the neglect charges were premised on the theory that Kaylee was still alive. So it's kind of hard to have murder charge and child abuse charge or child neglect charges. So the neglect charges were prior to the indictment.
Okay.
Okay.
Because it's like your child's been missing for, let's say she's alive, she's been missing for 31 days and you haven't called the police.
Mm-hmm.
That's neglect.
Yeah.
Definitely. Beyond. Yeah. Neglect.
But neglect, you know, will turn to murder.
Well, we picked a hell of a topic for Mother's Day week.
Didn't we?
Wow. Oh, I didn't even put that together.
Sorry, ladies.
Moly. Yeah.
Okay.
There will be a lot of mothers very upset after today, though. Not because of us, because of Casey Anthony. Yeah.
On October 28th, Casey was arraigned and pled not guilty to all charges. Now we're gonna skip. I've got my timeline a little off here. October 28th, she's gonna plead not guilty.
Okay.
On December 11th, remember Kronk? He's the Roy Kronk, the meter reader who's called in those tips already and been kind of ignored. He's calling the police again, and this time they search and found the remains of a child in a trash bag.
Okay, stop. We're going to head to the water cooler.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The Aeon water cooler.
Yeah, let's do it.
And have a little sip here.
All right.
And let's say, how in the world, this is the talk around the cooler today, how in the world did those first people not see this?
I have a theory.
And how in the world, why did it take this man going up there calling? And I mean, he's having to
bang on the door.
He really is having to say, will you please do your job?
Mm-hmm. That's what it sounds like.
And investigate what I am telling you.
I'm guessing the first time the cops went to look, they didn't take him with them.
No, they didn't.
So they just went somewhere and went, there's nothing out here. It's lunchtime. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
The second time they took him with them.
Maybe. And he said, and let's not forget the first time he went, they said, no, call the tip line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're dealing with, but they're not, what's the tip line for? Just a general tip line?
Well, you know, with like missing child cases and stuff, they will form a tip line because you'll get a bunch of random.
Okay, so what
tips.
You're telling me is you've got a missing child and a man shows up and wants to give information on something that might be relevant to that, and you say, call the tip line.
Yeah.
Which I guess the tip line is supposed to be a more organized. But if he's saying, I see human remains, yeah, you should probably just go check that out regardless. Like, regardless of who he's calling on.
Mm-hmm.
But.
All right. Well, I had to sidebar for a moment
chug a lug. We're still confused.
Yeah, exactly. All right. We can go back to the studio now.
Head back from the water cooler.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sorry, Katie.
The investigation. The investigators are going to recover duct tape, which was hanging from hair attached to the skull. And there were some tissues left on the skull. So over the next 4 days, more bones were found in the wooded area near the spot where the remains initially had been discovered.
Mm.
And on December 19th, medical examiner John Garavaglia is going to confirm that the remains found were Kaylee's.
Mm.
The death was ruled a homicide, and the cause of death listed was undetermined.
But could have possibly been the duct tape
that
was still on the body. Maybe, right?
Yeah. Like, I don't know if it was, you know, asphyxiation or, you know, I mean, these remains were found in a wooded area less than a mile from the Anthony family home.
And you think about the size of a 2-year-old and then a piece of duct tape. you could easily see how that.
She was two?
Two.
Okay.
It's not yet three.
I mean, you could see how that would easily cause the death of. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that. I know that it's impossible for them to determine at this point because of the level of decomposition that we're looking at, which is, you know, a terrible topic to talk about, but, you know, necessary to this case.
And over the next several months, the public is going to become obsessed with this case.
Oh, no doubt.
And because before the remains had been found, Casey was doing some weird stuff. She was out seen partying, getting a tattoo that said Bella, like they're going back in time and looking at what she had been doing this whole time.
It was the beautiful life,
yes,
wasn't it?
Bella like- Vita, Italian for, beautiful life. Just shopping with friends.
Clearly what any mother would be doing if their two-year-old was missing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I mean, it gets weirder and more, it's going to be fleshed out in the trial, but we'll fast forward to that, which the trial is going to be held in May of 2011. And I'll tell you all about that after these words from our sponsors.
Hey, Scott, how have you been feeling lately?
Fine so far.
Are you good? Do you have allergies or any kind of issues that someone from Cherokee Family Healthcare could help you with?
Not now, but they have in the past. Tell everybody what they can do for you.
All right, so Connie Geimer and crew, they are there Monday through Friday. You can check out their website at CherokeeFamilyHealth.com for all of their office hours and detailed information. But what they are committed to doing is providing the highest quality of healthcare to patients with compassion and respect. And I can attest to that, Scott. How about you? Did you have a good experience?
I had a wonderful experience. My only time I've ever been to Cherokee Family Healthcare.
And it was great?
100%.
Awesome. Well, I've been participating in the weight loss clinic there, seeing great results, and I feel great. So that's just one of the services that they offer. They can do primary care, all other kinds of things, from DOT physicals to I'm just got the sniffles. Let me just walk in and see what I can do about that. But you can check out their walk-in hours on their website. So give Connie Geimer and the gang a call at 256-266-1021. That's Cherokee Family Health. Hey, Katie, do you know what's really terrifying? The unseen dangers lurking in your water.
Exactly. We spend all this time talking about crimes, but what about the crimes happening right in your own pipes? Hard water, chlorine, and contaminants could be wreaking havoc on your home and your health.
That's why we trust Aon Water Technology, an authorized Connecticut dealer, to keep our water clean, safe, and, most importantly, free of unwanted intruders.
Whether it's for your home, business, or family, Aon's filtration and softening systems give you crystal clear water, no mystery involved.
So don't wait for a real horror story to unfold in your plumbing. Call Aon Water Technology today and get the clean, crime-free water you deserve.
Visit aonwatertech.com or 256-262-3426 and schedule a free water test. Be sure to mention True Crime and receive a 5% discount on any system or service. Hey, True Crime fans, it's time to start planning your 2025 summer staycation. Why not take it right here in Cherokee County, Alabama?
We have a ton of things to do here in Cherokee County. You can wet a hook in Weiss Lake, swing away at Cherokee Pines Golf Club, take in the breathtaking views at Cherokee Rock Village, hike the National Preserve at Little River Canyon, enjoy an all-day splash at Pirates Bay Water Park, and there's so much more.
The Cherokee County Chamber of Commerce and Tourism has a full list of lodgings, RV sites, kayak rentals, and campgrounds, and they're all anxious to meet your vacation needs, whatever they may be.
So come stay with us this summer from wherever you are. Plan your Northeast Alabama summer staycation by visiting cherokee-chamber.org.
Kelly and Katie, let me tell you guys a story, just a quick one about something that happened to me recently while I was dining at Easy Street Restaurant, Bar, and Performance Hall. A man there told me that he and his wife were moving into the area sometime soon, and they were looking for somewhere to live, and I said, the first guy you should call is Greg Oliver. Greg is the owner and broker at Go Realty here in Center. If you're like the man that I met who is thinking of moving to this area and you're looking for a home or property anywhere in Northeast Alabama or Northwest Georgia, give Greg Oliver a call at 256-504-3847. Greg has a full list of waterfront, residential, commercial, farm, and investment properties, and he is ready to help you find whatever you are looking for. Thank you to our sponsors for today's episode. Happy Mother's Day to everyone.
Except Casey Anthony.
Except Casey Anthony. Katie, you have the floor.
The trial began May 24th, 2011, at the Orange County Courthouse with Judge Belvin Perry presiding. In the opening statements, lead prosecutor, his name is Burdick.
Burdick and Belvin.
But okay. I'm not going to bore
good
you with
strong
names the whole time.
Names.
I'm going to take Scott's approach to this, and
I'm already confused by all the names.
He described the story of Kaylee's disappearance day by day. Prosecutors stated that Casey used chloroform to incapacitate Kaylee before suffocating her with duct tape, leaving the body in the trunk of her car before disposing of it. That's their theory of the case.
That's the prosecution theory of this case.
Mm-hmm. The defense said that Kaylee had likely drowned in the family's pool on June 16th, and that George had, with Casey's knowledge, covered up the drowning in order to spare his daughter a potential child neglect charge. The defense further said that Casey's seemingly unaffected behavior after Kaylee's death was attributed to her own child abuse she had allegedly suffered at the hands of her father and brother. Finally, the defense stated that the police investigation had been compromised by this media frenzy. So that is their theory of the case.
Okay. We have the two opposing sides there.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So, prosecution, they say Casey killed Kaylee. And the why was so that she could go back to living a party lifestyle.
That sounds right. I mean, it sounds like what she did.
Exactly. Yeah, she did.
In the trial's second week, the prosecution is going to call various members of Casey's family to the stand. George was their first witness. That's her dad. And he's going to deny sexually abusing his daughter. Both George and Casey's then-boyfriend testified that they did not smell anything resembling human decomposition in Casey's car when she visited them while Kaylee was missing. But George said he did smell something similar to, you know, a dead body when he went to pick up the car that had after it had been towed.
So he's sticking to his story is mm-hmm. the same.
Yes. Cindy, her mom, is going to testify that her comment to 911 that Casey's car smelled like, quote unquote, someone died, was just a figure of speech, further noting that she had made exaggerated claims on the phone in an effort to get police to respond quickly. So she's basically going to say, that's not really what I meant.
Okay, so she's backtracking.
Yes. Now, the third week of the trial was devoted to forensic analysis. The prosecution called software designer John Bradley, like I said, too many names,
mm-hmm.
who testified that based on a program he used to recover deleted searches, someone using the Anthony computer, he said he couldn't specify who because, like,
sure.
It's a desktop sitting in someone's kitchen, probably,
mm-hmm.
had searched for chloroform 84 times and also had searched for the words household weapons and neck breaking. But here's where the prosecution stuff gets shoddy, because after the trial, he is going to publicly report that the number 84 was an error. There was a bug in his program that he used, and that actually the term chloroform had only been searched for one time. Two police dog handlers indicated that their cadaver dogs had detected human decomposition, one in Casey's car and the other in the Anthony family backyard. Chief medical examiner for the prosecution testified that she determined Kaylee's manner of death to be homicide based on physical and circumstantial evidence, including the fact that her death had not been reported and the chloroform had been found in Casey's car. She noted that even a small amount of chloroform can cause death in a small child. But on cross-examination, the medical examiner is going to admit that toxicology tests on Kaylee's bones came up negative for volatile chemicals. So they couldn't prove that she had any chloroform in her system based on the test that they had done on her bones. But she maintained that her opinion was that the death was not an accident, given the lack of a police report.
Mm-hmm.
Human Identification Laboratory Director Michael Warren presented a CGI kind of thing, like an animation feature, mm-hmm. pictures of still living Kaylee with her mother were then superimposed with Kaylee's decomposed skull and duct tape found with the body. So, like, they took mm-hmm. a picture of her and her mom mm-hmm. alive and then, like, morphed it into this, the skull they had found.
Mm-hmm.
He then said it was his opinion that the duct tape had been placed on Kaylee's body prior to her body's decomposition. So that was an argument back and forth. Was the duct tape on while she was alive, or was the duct tape put on just the skull?
Mm-hmm.
They had a fingerprint examiner and said that she had observed the outline of a heart-shaped sticker on the duct tape found, but by the time she tried to photograph the outline, it was no longer visible. That doesn't make a lot of
sense.
Who
said that?
They had a fingerprint analyst out there to dust, like, all of the duct mm-hmm. tape and everything for fingerprints, which they didn't find any
fingerprints.
But she said that there was looked like an outline of what would have been a heart-shaped sticker on the duct tape. But then by the time they went to photograph it, like, the outline was not visible anymore. Okay,
I didn't think I could get any more confused.
Mm-hmm. What was the point of saying any of that?
Yeah. Like I said, no fingerprints were found, but she explains that she didn't expect to find fingerprints.
Mm-hmm.
There was a hair analyst who testified that a hair discovered in Casey's trunk belonged to Kaylee, and that it displayed what is called root banding, which only happens post-mortem.
Oh,
so it would have been hair from a dead. It would have been.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we learned a couple of weeks ago that there's certain marbling that can happen to the skin. Things happen mm-hmm. to the body post-mortem.
That makes it easy for somebody who's well-trained to mm-hmm. identify.
That's what the science uses to. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And this next evidence got in over defense objections. They said that it wasn't scientifically reliable, but there was a lab who did some air sampling. They sampled the air found in Casey's trunk, and they said that it indicated decomposition and chloroform on the mm-hmm. labs they ran on this air sampling. The defense noted that this lab had been unwilling to share their proprietary database on how they
mm-hmm.
got this information, and that this forensic technique had never been previously used in a criminal case. So this was like new technology,
and we're not telling you how we did it. You just have to trust us that mm-hmm. that's what we came up with. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I can see why the defense would point to that and say, hey, wait a minute.
But, I mean, air...
You're making this up.
Air... I mean, that's a thing.
Sure it
is. I mean, they're testing air quality all the time.
If this company is going to be involved in legal matters, mm-hmm. obviously they're going to need to be able to, or they should realize.
Mm-hmm. You got
the first thing they're
going
to ask us is to explain how we came up with this, and we're not doing that, so I guess we're out of this business.
Hmm.
So now the prosecution rests. That's 3 weeks of...
And we still...
Well, I'm not convicting her based on anything I've heard.
Hmm.
Not of murder.
Let's go back to a little bit of law school here.
Okay, but let me ask you this, though. Everybody has duct tape.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You can explain that away. You might could even explain a hair of one of your child's in your trunk because hair falls out mm-hmm. if it gets in there. Not a post-mortem hair.
Yes.
But a hair. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever. Who has chloroform in their possession?
I don't even know where you get it. I mean, I guess you can get it online, but what?
I wouldn't even know
what to do with it.
Except to knock somebody out.
Do you have
chloroform?
No.
Does it have any other use?
It's a great question. I have no idea.
Other than knocking somebody out?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a good question.
So that's, okay.
Don't you think it would have come up in this trial?
Yeah.
Yes, there was chloroform in my trunk. I use it for blah, 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 blah.
Right. No, and it didn't. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, we've said this before. Just because you don't have a whole lot of, like, aha DNA evidence mm-hmm. doesn't mean you don't have good evidence. But if you are putting all of this stuff together, it seems like really good evidence to me. But I understand that the defense also has to do their job, mm-hmm. and they did a job of creating some doubt.
Yeah.
Some of the other uses for chloroform, if you're not medically related, mm-hmm. you can use it in refrigerants, like it's a portion of Freon, but we don't use Freon anymore for mm-hmm. refrigerants. Mm-hmm. You can manufacture plastics and resins, mm-hmm. and you can extract fats, oils, and waxes, and also some pesticides.
Okay. But
unless she's making homemade pesticides.
I was going to say, what does she need that for working at Universal? Oh, wait, she doesn't work there. She lied about that.
Right.
Or maybe the nanny. Oh, wait a minute.
Nope,
that
can't
person
find
doesn't exist.
Imaginary person.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm listening to what you're saying. I hear you.
All right.
Well, prosecution rests. Defense is going to start their case in chief in the fourth week of trial.
Okay.
They've got a forensic pathologist who performed an autopsy on Kaylee.
Okay.
And he's going to call the previous medical examiner's autopsy shoddy.
Hmm.
He said, said that it was a failure that Kaylee's skull was not opened during her examination. And he's going to say that his own autopsy could not determine whether the child's death was a homicide, and that his opinion was that the duct tape had been placed post-decomposition, saying that duct tape placed on skin would have had residual DNA.
Hmm. Okay.
And
I mean, I hear that point.
Yeah.
I hear it.
What is that, a bad attempt to make it look like she was kidnapped?
Yeah, or that's, you know,
just to plant doubt
that she wasn't suffocated. Yeah.
Or that she didn't drown in the pool.
Or that she did drown in the pool, and then maybe they put duct tape around her to
help carry her body. Yeah, she only weighs 20 pounds.
Or maybe there was a bag around her at one point or something.
Yeah.
We go through all of this, like with JonBenet. Are you going to do all of this to your grandchild's body?
Yeah.
To protect your child. Same with the Ramses. Are you going to do all of these things to your little girl to protect your son? You know, that was the one case where the people were trying to say it was the son.
Right. Yeah, yeah. That's what I was implying earlier, that it was a death in the family. I mean, among the family
Can
members.
You bring yourself to do these horrible things to your little loved one's dead body?
I guess
to
maybe
protect your daughter. That's the question that I'm asking. No one has an answer to that. Mm-hmm.
Cindy, you know, Casey's mom, is now testifying as a defense witness, said that she had been responsible for the chloroform search on the family computer, saying that she meant to search for chlorophyll but had misremembered the term.
What was she needing chlorophyll for? For her plants? Is that a plant thing?
Yeah, I guess so. Mm-hmm. People drink chlorophyll now, too.
Is she an avid gardener?
When I typed in chloroform just now, it tried to make me spell chloroform.
It probably doesn't want you searching for chloroform.
Well, it auto-corrected the other way instead of from chlorophyll to here, let me try it. Let me try to type in.
Or maybe if she misremembered the term, then she might have just clicked on the wrong one. Maybe that's something that somebody would do if they.
Chlorophyll comes up first for me, too.
Yeah.
So, even though it's a pH. And form is an F.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, I mean, that's plausible. And listen, what we're trying to do here.
It doesn't want you to search chloroform is what we're saying.
Well, it fills in
with
the most.
I just did, though, so y'all heard it here.
It fills in. Google's going to fill in with the most frequently.
Fill
a lot more than form.
Which is fill because you don't need chloroform.
Exactly. Unless you're in the medical field or...
Unless you're doing something right, nefarious. Mm.
Yeah.
If you are out there and you use chloroform in some noble way, please let us know.
Yeah, let us know. TrueCrimeOnEasyStreet@gmail.com. We're curious.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to come back and say that the term when it was searched on the computer would have been when Cindy was at work because they had work records. But she's going to say that her work records were incorrect because she was a salaried employee, so sometimes it said she was at work when she wasn't.
Okay, well, that's lying. Yeah. That's falsifying a federal document.
Yeah.
So she just admitted that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you're just going to keep moving the goalposts.
That's
I can explain this.
That's the defense attorney's job, move the goalposts.
But we keep bringing it back by saying, well, wait a minute, you were at work. Okay, so now you're falsifying documents.
So now you're all liars.
That's a problem for your insurance company. A big problem. Yeah. Because where I work, we operate on timesheets and time logs. Mm-hmm. And that is a binding document. And if it ever says you're working and you're not, that's illegal.
Got it. Okay.
It doesn't matter if you're salaried or not.
Yeah.
Is that a workers' comp thing? Is that what
it's a Blue Cross thing here for us, but it's also one of our policies and procedures. Don't lie about working.
Yeah.
You know?
Makes sense.
The next thing she's testifying about is that their family buried their pets in blankets and plastic bags using duct tape to seal the opening. Mm. So I guess she is comparing the dead body of her 2-year-old granddaughter to that of a deceased pet and saying, like, that would be where the duct tape came from. And the defense called on FBI forensic document examiner who found no evidence of a sticker or sticker residue on the duct tape found near her remains. So the sticker thing is...
I don't even know what that person was just trying to say. Were they just trying to be relevant?
I don't know if it was like we've suffocated her with this duct tape and decorated it with a sticker because she's a little girl.
That's what I thought you were getting at. Yeah. Maybe.
Okay. On June 30th, the defense is going to call Crystal Holloway, who was a volunteer in the search for Kaylee, who is going to state that she had an affair with George, which is Casey's dad.
Good grief! But
George isn't on trial.
What's that got to do with anything?
Well, according to Holloway, George said Kaylee's death was an accident that snowballed out of control.
Oh, pillow talk.
Yeah. Mm. And during cross, prosecutors pointed out that Holloway had a sworn police statement in which she said George believed rather than knew it was an accident. So during redirect, the defense is going to ask her if George had told her Kaylee was dead while stating publicly that she was missing. To which she replied, yes. In his earlier testimony, George denied having an affair with Holloway and said he visited her only because she was ill.
How does he know her?
She must be in the community because she was a volunteer in the search, so she must be a neighbor or...
the lady next door.
But after her testimony, the judge is going to tell jurors that it could be used to impeach George's credibility because it was... proof of prior inconsistent statements.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it was not proof of how Kaylee died. They couldn't take her testimony and because it's hearsay.
Right.
Yeah.
So they can just say, you can only use this to prove that what he's saying is changed.
If you think that this testimony cancels out George's testimony, then okay.
But you can't use it to say that Kaylee died like this because she said he said
right.
She died like
yeah.
this. Okay. And it also can be used, of course, for Casey's guilt or innocence.
Right.
So, by the time both sides had concluded their case, the prosecution had called 59 witnesses. They had 70 different testimonies with those 59 witnesses.
Mm.
And the defense called 47 witnesses for 63 different testimonies.
And the jury is highly frustrated at this point because I'm frustrated hearing about it.
And swimming in concrete.
Too much information.
It's quicksand.
Mm-hmm.
Casey, of course, did not testify. By the time the trial was finished, there was 400 pieces of evidence that had been presented.
Wow.
Sounds like a lot, but mm-hmm. I mean, you can't blame the prosecution for not trying.
Mm-hmm. But and they're calling it evidence.
Right.
400 people that the judge is allowing and saying this is evidence.
Right. And, you know, evidence can be a lot of different things.
Yeah.
But anything that got admitted into the trial.
Sure. But it has to be blessed by the judge.
Yes.
So.
You got to lay a foundation. There's got to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So closing arguments were heard July 3rd and 4th. The prosecution reiterated.
Wow. They worked on July 4th?
Mm-hmm. That's what.
Wow.
I guess they were. Trying to get this done.
Yeah.
Jury was
get
like,
it over with.
Extra mad. Ready to go. I can't imagine being on this jury, honestly. I mean, I just can't.
6 weeks of your life.
And having to hear about this horrible, horrible thing.
I wonder if they were sequestered.
I didn't see anything talking about jury
That would have to be a gross over.
I don't know. Orange County.
Site. I don't know. I'm thinking not,
but I don't know. It's kind of curious because you would think, I mean, we've already been talked about plenty of cases.
They were sequestered.
They were sequestered. Okay.
So
they're like, yeah, we'll work on the fourth. Let's get this.
Yeah. We want to go home. Yeah.
We want to go home.
It's not like they could do anything but hang out at their hotel anyway.
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
So the state in their closing arguments is going to reiterate that Casey killed Kaylee to free herself of parental duties. They said, when you have a child, that child becomes your life. This case is about the clash between that responsibility and the expectations that go with it, and the life that Casey Anthony wanted to have. They emphasized Casey's false claims, including her claims about the nanny, the smell in the car, the items found with Kaylee's remains. They called the defense's theory of an accidental drowning absurd because he said no one would make an accident look like a murder.
I mean, it is crazy. No, why would you take an accidental drowning
and make it look like a murder when if you take a murder and make it look like an accident?
Yeah, it's the other way around.
Like it's,
Anthony's.
So,
and they didn't. That's not what happened.
Mm-mm. Defense, who the judge had said could not address the abuse claims given the lack of evidence presented at trial, so they can't talk about Casey's.
Alleged abuse
by
her. You just can't come out and make these crazy claims about a man that. Mm-hmm. Oh, that made me so mad. That really infuriated me during this whole trial process was that part of
it. I'm glad I don't remember it.
Ugh.
They're going to emphasize the circumstantial nature of the prosecution's case, saying the state's allegations were based on fantasy searches, fantasy forensics, phantom stickers. Phantom stains, and no real hard evidence. The defense is going to say there was a reasonable hypothesis of innocence in light of the possibility that Kaylee had drowned, further contending that drowning was the only explanation that made sense. I don't know about that. A point he illustrated with a video of Kaylee opening the home's sliding glass door, which did not have a child safety lock, by herself. He criticized the prosecution for their heavy use of character evidence, saying the strategy behind that is if you hate her, if you think she's a lying, no good slut, then you'll start to look at this evidence in a different light, which is a valid statement. It really, to me, I think that's where the prosecution went awry was they just really hung their hat on. You're going to hate her enough. Mm-hmm. And we've proven that she's a liar. Mm-hmm. So if you think she lied about that,
she lied
about this.
Sure. Yep.
But that's not beyond a reasonable doubt. Not for
me. Right. All of this is makes sense.
Yeah.
And I'm not here to, I definitely don't want, this jury's been villainized enough. I can't imagine how difficult this whole process was for all of those individuals involved.
Yeah. And back to that burden of proof, the defense is going to emphasize it and say, Casey Anthony is not required to present evidence or prove anything. The burden rests on the shoulders of my colleagues at the state attorney's office.
That is true. Yep. That is true. I still like their evidence that they have, though. Yeah. I still like their evidence.
And since the prosecution has the burden of proof, they get the last word.
Okay.
So they start closing, defense gets to go, and then prosecution gets to come back up. Mm-hmm. So lead prosecutor is going to state that the state backed up all their claims from the opening statements with evidence. And
that was a direct shot at the defense for coming out swinging at George,
yes.
I think.
And he's going to point to, yes, like,
because in their opening
statements,
yes, they're calling him a molester.
Right. And they didn't back it up with anything.
No. And so much so that the judge said they can't bring that up again.
Which is how that works. You can say what you want in opening. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to back it up. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't back it up, then, you know, you haven't proven
angry.
The elements of your case.
Yeah. Right.
And it gets thrown out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I don't understand how George being this meant that the little girl drowned in the pool. It was completely and utterly look over here.
Yeah.
Let's feel sorry for her. I know you want to hate her, but she's been through a lot.
That was supposed
so they kind of went the other way with it.
Yeah, that was supposed to explain.
Let's pity her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, explain her lack of emotion, her lack of.
Yeah. Let's pity my defendant where the prosecution's saying, let's hate her.
I remember reading about Johnny Cochran's opening statement in the OJ trial
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
he said he was going to, he told the jury, he ran off this list, I remember reading it, of a lot of things that he was going to prove to you over mm-hmm. the course of the trial. None of that ever came up again.
Nope.
But he put that seed in the mm-hmm. jury's mind mm-hmm. and gave them something to think about. Maybe had them looking for that mm-hmm. instead of listening to what was actually being
said. And that's exactly what the defense did in this trial.
That's the defense attorney's job.
And so when the prosecution comes back and says that, I believe that's a direct shot.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's going to point to Casey's actions after Kaylee's disappearance,
which speak for themselves.
He says, responses to grief are as varied as the day is long, but responses to guilt are oh so predictable. What do guilty people do? They lie, they avoid, they run, they mislead, not just to their family, but the police. They divert attention away from themselves and they act like nothing is wrong.
Yeah.
He denied the defense's allegations that the prosecution had based its case on emotion rather than evidence.
Okay.
And ended his rebuttal by showing the jury a side-by-side picture of Casey partying and a tattoo she received the day before Kaylee was reported missing.
I mean, that is what it is.
Yeah.
On July 5th, 2011, after 6 weeks of testimony, the jury is going to come back with a verdict of not guilty.
Yep.
Of the first degree murder, aggravated child abuse, and aggravated manslaughter. None of it.
None.
She was found guilty of 4 counts of providing false information to law enforcement, which are each misdemeanors, meaning that the maximum punishment is a year in jail. Mm-hmm. Can't go over. Those statements were that she worked at Universal Studios, mm-hmm. That she employed Fanny as the nanny,
mm-hmm.
That she had told 2 Universal Studios co-workers that Kaylee had disappeared,
mm-hmm.
and that she had spoken by phone with Kaylee after Kaylee went missing.
All of those things lying to law enforcement have to do with her daughter. Except being mm-hmm. employed.
Yeah.
But that was mm-hmm. also an like alibi.
I mean, it's called the trial of the century. Mm. Compared the verdict to OJ's acquittal.
Yeah.
So
people were outraged.
I remember that part.
Yeah.
July 7th, they're going to have sentencing. The defense is arguing that it should be sentencing on 1 count because it was all the same charge, and then the prosecution's like, no, we got 4 separate statements mm-hmm. given separately to police.
Each one of them is illegal.
So the judge is going right with that, and so he's going to give a year in county jail and a $1,000 fine for each, which is the maximum.
Right. Okay.
She had already spent more than 1,000 days in jail, so she's going to be...
She's just out, yeah.
Yeah, she's going to be released 10 days after sentencing.
Oh, okay.
Got served 10 more days. Probably that was a lot, mostly processing time, probably.
Mm-hmm.
There was also a little-known Florida statute that requiring judges to assess investigative and prosecution costs if requested by a state agency. So the judge is going to rule that she has to pay $217,000 to the state of Florida. Prosecution asked for $516,000, but the judge says she was only liable for the time where Kaylee was reported missing up until they decided it was a homicide.
Okay.
So they got some judgment. They didn't get exactly what they wanted there. But now over the years, you know, there's been several speculations. Everyone's got a theory of this case. The defense's theory, accidental drowning that they covered up.
Mm-hmm.
The prosecution's theory, premeditated murder to escape the burden of motherhood. Happy Mother's Day, everyone.
Mm.
negligence or drugging gone wrong. Some believe that Casey may have given Kaylee sedatives to make her sleep so she could party mm-hmm. and that it accidentally killed her that way. Some are going to speculate that the family was involved, that it was her dad or her brother, or that that the family knew more about what Casey mm-hmm. did to her than they let on to.
I mean, this poor brother, he's gotten accused of sexually
abusing her. I'm
glad
we didn't say his name. At least we didn't.
And then now that he's responsible for his niece's death, I mean, what a great sibling.
But one thing we know for sure is that no one has ever been proven guilty for Kaylee's death.
No. If, then who did it? Who did this to her?
Her mother did.
I was going to say, if not, because she's been found not guilty, so that's done. We can't do that again.
Sure.
Right. So then who did it?
Her mother did.
I don't mind. That's what, if you listen to a lot of different podcasts on this case, have you guys ever listened to one that,
no.
that supported Casey's claims?
I don't listen to podcasts.
I haven't.
The ones that I've listened to.
Maybe I need to search one out because I do
maybe
like
I should
doing
too.
That. You
yeah.
know, that's how I flipped my belief on the Adnan Syed situation.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When I listened to the Prosecutor's Pod, which is another Alabama-based
yeah,
podcast.
It is. Prosecutors. Did they do Casey Anthony?
I don't know if they did.
We'll look and see.
Because
the prosecutors did.
Are you
that's
guys whispering?
You should listen. I don't know.
Speak
I was
up.
Just like, what?
What the hell's going on here?
They did a great job on the Adnan Syed
yes,
cast. I would encourage you all to listen to the prosecutors.
Okay.
But I'm going to look and see if they have anything on Casey Anthony.
And I'm not a fan of prosecutors, so... And I still like them. But I want to talk a little bit about the jurors, because they've got a lot of hate over the years, but
yeah,
several
yeah.
of them have spoken out.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what they think. So, I think I know what they're going to say, but I want to hear you say it first.
Juror number 3 gave an interview.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, they do have one.
For Casey
on
Anthony?
Casey Anthony. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I will give that a listen this week.
Yeah, it's episode 140. Well, this is part 7. The trial of Casey
Anthony.
Oh, yeah,
they do
part
a lot
7,
of parts.
So
yeah.
There's a bunch, but they do have that. So we all, that's everybody's homework for the week. I'm sorry, Katie. Go
no,
ahead.
No.
Go ahead.
That's, yeah, no, that's good to know. Yeah, I'm going to give that a listen.
So juror number 3.
Yeah, Katie. They emphasized that the jury was not required to find Casey innocent to find her not guilty, saying if you cannot prove what the crime was, you cannot determine what the punishment should be.
Yep.
Well, and that is a valid statement because there's so many things being thrown around about how Kaylee died,
mm-hmm.
and we just don't know for sure.
Yeah, they didn't come in with any one solid, here's what...
And for somebody to convict somebody of murder, that's a lot on a jury
yeah.
and a juror to say, I'm okay with this. I'm not really sure how she died, but... Mm-hmm. You know, that is hard.
And she said that they were sick to their stomachs over the verdict.
Oh, I'm sure they were.
Juror number 2 told the St. Petersburg Times that jurors agreed if we were going fully on feelings and emotion that we'd find her guilty, but that they wanted to go on the evidence that was presented to them.
Okay.
Which is what you were supposed
well,
to do.
Well, that's what a jury is supposed to do, yeah.
Juror number 11... The foreman stated that a feeling of disgust came over him when he wrongly thought, this is not true, that his signature and Casey's would going to be on the same verdict sheet. He thought that all the jurors signed a verdict sheet and then not Casey signed it too.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how that works.
Mm-hmm.
But the foreman said that the state's failure to prove the case, or no, to prove the cause of death and suspicion regarding the role of Casey's father, George, had both factored largely into the jury's deliberations. He also said in another interview that the jury had been skeptical of the offered motive for the killing, saying that like a mom just wanting to go out and party
mm-hmm.
is kind of weak. Like she could have left that kid with her parents, seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and so it kind of leads some people to say maybe they should have went with the, she drugged her, didn't mean for her to die, but nonetheless,
yeah,
she died. Which is probably the most common theory that I've heard.
Yeah.
Is people think that she was knocking the child out so she wouldn't have to leave her with somebody and she could party.
Mm-hmm.
And she just forgot about her and she died.
Yeah. In the initial poll of the jury, when like you go in and they just go, okay, let's take a, you know,
yeah,
temperature
as soon as you
test.
Walk in, let's
see what happened.
Yeah. Where we are.
It was 10-2 not guilty right off the bat.
Yeah.
Mm.
And they deliberated for more than 10 hours and then...
To try to get the other two to...
Yep. And then they reached their decision.
And then they did.
Mm. In 2011, one juror said he regretted his... No, sorry. Not 2011. 2021. One juror said he regretted his decision to fully acquit Casey of homicide and abuse and said that in retrospect, he would at least vote to convict her of aggravated manslaughter of a child and aggravated child abuse.
Yeah, I mean, that was shocking to me. I honestly, the murder... part isn't as shocking to me.
If
but
you're
the
mother
two.
Of a child who dies,
mm-hmm.
it's your fault.
Mm.
Oh.
What?
Well, I mean, in this case, it was.
Oh, I mean, you're talking about in this case, in not this case, in general.
No. I'm sorry. I said
be careful. It's almost Mother's Day,
if
Scott.
If you're this mother and your child died this way, you're responsible for something.
Yeah, something happened.
That's child abuse.
If she accidentally drowned, which is horrible, and it happens, and that's why pools are dangerous. If you have little kids, they need to be in swim lessons. That you need a pool alarm. You need doors that
don't
lock.
Have a toddler in a pool unless that kid knows how to swim.
That kid did not drown in that pool. I just don't think that kid drowned in that
pool. Yeah, but it's a good life
because
lesson.
Because that happens, and you call immediately because you hope that there is something they can do. Mm-hmm. You know, you want an ambulance. You want,
and no one is looking to arrest you on the spot.
Yeah.
If anything, people greatly pity you because this has happened and there's nothing anybody can do. You're going to blame yourself for the rest. I mean, what punishment are you going to throw at somebody that hits that, you know? So again, I go back to that makes no sense that this kid drowned and they tried to make it look like something else.
Yeah.
That makes no sense to me, but it doesn't have to make sense to me. I wasn't on the jury.
Isn't there some, didn't I read recently that Casey Anthony is back in the news? Sorry.
She started a TikTok.
That's what I thought it was.
And immediately their people were like, no.
Yeah.
No, we're not doing this, Casey Anthony. You're not getting famous on TikTok. Get off here.
Yeah.
Did they kick her off TikTok?
I think she got enough hate on there that she left on her own.
Care of itself. And that was, in the last few months?
Yes.
I remember that.
March, I think, is when she started.
I know there was at one point in time that she was very passionate about trying to help other people who had been wrongfully accused of something. How long did that last?
I think it was same.
I don't think anybody. I don't think that organization wants Casey Anthony as their spokesperson.
No one wants to tie themselves to her name.
Right.
Mm-mm. No, and a couple of more things that were in the media, and then we'll be done with her. But so, like, we had John Cloud of Time Magazine, and he's quoted saying that the prosecution really had so little physical evidence that they built their case on her moral character. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, they thought he was where I got the quote, you know, they thought if the jurors saw what a liar she was, that they would understand she could also be a murderer. Mm-hmm. But they needed to prove that how Kaylee died. And it just wasn't.
It seemed to me that the defense went more on emotion, in my opinion, than the prosecution. Because when you continually hear and see the lies that someone proves, you make a judgment about that person.
Sure, but there's a gigantic gap between lying and murdering. Every person alive lies.
Sure there is, but what are these lies? Mm. Look at the lies of the person.
Yeah.
And then
I still can't
ask yourself that.
I still can't just still connect that dot.
No, I totally understand it. Yeah. And these 12 individuals couldn't either.
They did their job. They did what they were supposed to do.
They did.
In the last bit here, also one thing that was argued was the CSI effect, that society now lives in a CSI age where everyone expects fingerprints and DNA and like the smoking gun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they said that we're sending a message that old-fashioned circumstantial evidence is not sufficient.
And I just disagree with that because it's still good evidence. But I guess because we've had so many individuals who've spent so much time in jail over a flimsy case.
Saying that, like, the prosecutor from the OJ case, she had come out and was saying that the jury interpreted reasonable doubt too narrowly. Because it's a hard defined term.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And that it's, you know, it's one of the hardest and most elusive instructions you can get. Mm-hmm. And sometimes a fair-minded juror can just get derailed on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like this, because in Scotland, they have three verdicts. Guilty, not guilty, and not proven. So it's a way of showing that even if the jury didn't believe the evidence amounted to proof, that it didn't actually mean that the defendant was innocent either.
So what happens in that case in
Scotland?
I don't know.
I need to do more research on that.
What is your punishment for
like if it's not proven, can you try it again?
Ah, there you go.
That's where my mind goes.
Yeah,
in that.
Now that makes sense because with double jeopardy, she can never be tried for that murder again. No. But what if some evidence popped up 10 years from now? Something
too bad.
The technology improves and you could prove it. In Scotland, maybe you could go back and do it again. But here, she's free for the rest of her life from this crime. Yeah. Right?
Yep.
That's That's it on the worst mother to talk about on Mother's Day.
Yeah, again, I say happy Mother's Day to everybody but Casey Anthony.
Yeah, we're sorry about this, everybody. Yeah.
It really was a complete accident that we had.
We say this all the time, and we mean it every time. We plan nothing.
We fumble through in the dark, and sometimes something happens.
Team of experts.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm looking at two of them.
We love that phrase so much to describe us. Man, but if you want to hear from some experts, check out the prosecutor's version of Casey Anthony.
I'm sure they went through the actual case file.
They are experts indeed. Thank you so much, Katie. You did a great job with a very sad case.
Horrible. And sickening.
Poor little Kaylee. On our Instagram and social media, we will have pictures of her only.
Yeah. I like that idea. Yeah. All right, guys, say something nice about us on your podcast platform of choice. We're on the Believe podcast platform. That's our home now, BLEAV.com. Sounds confusing, but whatever. I didn't come up with a name. We're there now. We're also available on Spotify and Apple iTunes, anywhere you like.
Yep.
Check out our Facebook page. You can go to our website, truecrimeoneasystreet.com, and find out a little bit about the three of us. You can email us at truecrimeoneasystreet@gmail.com. Let us say something nice about us, and we will say something nice about you on the air in a future episode.
Right.
Is that it, guys? Are we done?
Yes.
Happy Mother's Day. Good night, everybody.